Trade tensions are nearing a boiling point between China and Australia. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. First, it was a row over barley, beef, and wine exports from the land down under to its biggest trade partner. Now, Australia is investigating reports China has stopped accepting shipments of its coal. From Sydney, the BBC's Phil Mercer has more.
Coal is one of the major Australian commodity exports to China, behind iron ore and liquefied natural gas. So any disruption to this multi-billion dollar trade would hurt. State-owned energy providers and steel mills in China have reportedly been told not to buy Australian coal. If the claims are true, diplomatic tensions would escalate. Earlier this year, China was infuriated when Canberra called for a global investigation into COVID-19, which was first detected in the city of Wuhan.
Phil Mercer reporting there. Checking the numbers now, stocks in Asia ended in the green after China reported exports grew nearly 10% last month from a year earlier. Imports expanded more than 13%. Meanwhile, Johnson & Johnson shares are down 2.5% pre-market in the U.S. after it paused its coronavirus vaccine trial due to an unexplained illness in one of its volunteers. Last month, AstraZeneca paused its trial for the same reason. J&J said this kind of disruption is expected in any clinical study. Amazon's annual shopping bonanza known as Prime Day begins today, though not everyone is excited. Campaign groups have urged shoppers to instead spend cash in small local shops. Amazon, though, has also encouraged the same idea. It offered a $10 credit to use over the next 2 days to those who spent $10 with a small business first. Oliver Bristow, co-owner of Pets Purist here in the UK, says the promotion has been a big boost for his business.
We were featured on Amazon's storefronts, which they were running for about a month before Prime Day, of small businesses in each category. And on the specific day where we were featured, our sales on that day through our storefront were like 3 times higher than what they usually are. And in terms of the Prime Day, we've seen about an increase of 10% in our sales.
So what is the advantage to your business to selling on Amazon? Because you also have your own web shop and you sell wholesale.
It gives small businesses like us the ability to kind of just plug into the world's best fulfillment network and a website which gets traffic of, you know, many times more than we could on our own website. It allows us to grow without the need to increase resources. We can send our products into Amazon and they'll store them and then ship them out to the customer when they make an order, which to scale the way we have on Amazon, it would just be impossible as a small business.
There have been campaign groups that have been urging consumers not to shop on Amazon during Prime Day the next 2 days and to instead support local businesses. If they did that, though, would that have an impact on your business?
Yeah, I think the difficulty with that is that you might find that a shop in a local community find Amazon as a way to increase the sales as well as footfall through the door. So it's not as black and white as just saying, you know, there are shops that are on the high street and ones that are online, because there's more sales through Amazon to small businesses than there are to Amazon themselves. I think that's one of the benefits of this promotion. It is raising awareness. If you're shopping on Amazon, you kind of just think everything's sold by Amazon. We find with customers, they don't realize that they're buying from an independent store.
Oliver Bristow, co-owner of Pets Purist, based up in Manchester. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem.
Have you ever paid more for something than you think it's worth in a heated online auction? I have, for a teapot for my mom. Things go really fast in those last few minutes. Well, it's that feeling. It's called the winner's curse, and it's at the heart of research by Stanford professor Robert Wilson, who this week won the Nobel Prize for Economics for his work on auction theory. He told me auctions aren't just limited to bidding wars for livestock or fine art. They affect our everyday lives, too.
Now it's used almost in continuous time to allocate advertising slots on internet search engines, eBay, or 100 other venues. So it's very widespread.
Now, you have not only studied auction theory, but you and fellow Nobel Prize winner Paul Milgram have actually come up with a more effective auction format. And it was first used in the U.S. to sell radio frequencies to telecommunications companies.
Yeah, bidders were forced to constantly be engaged in bidding for the objects they were interested in. And they, over time, accumulated stakes in different licenses to build the package that they wanted. It took 4 months, 2 rounds a day, and the bid increments were very large. We're talking in terms of hundreds of millions of dollars. It would move slowly so that the finance committee of the major companies could meet at each round twice a day to evaluate whether they were willing to go to the next bid increment. It was a complicated, slow-moving auction, but it raised billions of dollars for the government, and it produced what we think is a pretty efficient allocation of the licenses. And 4 months is a much faster time than the old process of allocation based on lobbying activity and whatever the commission favored to assign the license to.
You're clearly not the only one who sees it as more efficient. Your theory, your method, has been applied to auctions of other goods and services as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. There are lots of these. We call them combinatorial auctions or package auctions. Paul Milgram, his company, Auctionomics, they design those auctions for different kinds of products. I even recall just now in my mind, he was designing an auction for milk producers. Milk is of itself a package of things. You know, it's cheese and curd and whey and all those components. So it's just a minor instance of lots of applications.
And finally, Robert, what does it mean to you to win this prize?
Well, it's very rewarding because this is the third of my students who's won. Paul was a student of mine in the 70s, and two other students of mine, Al Roth and Bengt Holmstrom, have won in prior years. So now I have a trio of former students who've won Nobel Prizes. So that's a great joy.
And you get to bring one home for yourself. Bob Wilson, congratulations, professor from Stanford University and winner of the Nobel Prize in Economics. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Well, if you missed any of that conversation with Bob Wilson, you can head over to marketplace.org and hear the full interview there. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.